Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during July. Hey, it's summertime, at least here in the Northern Hemisphere. Long, warm days, and short, warm nights. You'd be surprised how many people think it's hotter now because Earth is closer to the sun. Nope, that's not it. In fact, in 2013, our little planet will be its farthest from Ol Sol, 94,509,000 miles center to center, on July 5th. Instead, the reason it's hot right now is that the northern hemisphere is tipped toward the sun. And that means Earth's bottom half is tipped away from the sun. So right now it's midwinter in Australia. True darkness is fleeting in summertime, especially at higher latitudes. Here in the Boston area, for example, the last bit of twilight lingers in the west until about 10:30. Leaving only 4.5 hours to revel in the star-spangled night before dawn begins to creep up in the east. So let's make the most of the darkness we have. New moon falls on July 8th, which means we'll have dark, moon-free evenings right off the bat. Full moon comes 2 weeks later, on the 22nd, just after coming closest to Earth in its orbit. So the moon's full disk will be especially big that night, though honestly you won't notice it, and ocean tides will be especially high. Throughout July, Venus lingers low in the west after the Sun makes its daily exit. Venus is so bright that it can sometimes be seen during daylight. So how soon can you spot it? Start looking right at sunset. It'll be along a diagonal line to the Sun's upper left, separated by about 3 times the width of your clenched fist at arm's length. On July 11th, Venus is joined by a super slim crescent moon. Look carefully, because that sliver will be hard to spot in the dwindling light. Make sure the view toward west is free of trees and other obstructions. You won't have much trouble spotting Saturn. Once you've found Venus, make a turn to the left so that you're facing south, and you'll see that wonderful ringed planet about a third of the way up from the horizon to overhead. Saturn is only half as bright as it was back in April, when Earth swung directly between it and the Sun. But it's still a welcome addition to these summer evenings. One fist to Saturn's lower right is a bright solitary beacon with an icy white color. That's Spica, or Spica, the anchor star for the constellation Virgo, the Maiden. She's lying sideways in the sky, with her head toward the right and her legs toward left. Spica is Latin for ear of grain, and Virgo is often depicted holding stalks of grain in her hand. On the night of July 15th, the first quarter moon passes just below Spica, and it'll be especially close if you live out west. In fact, the moon glides right over this star from tropical locations like Central America or the Hawaiian Islands. High above Virgo is dazzling Arcturus, the alpha star for the kite-shaped constellation Bootes, meaning herdsman or plowman. Arcturus, which marks the kite's tail, is the fourth brightest star in the nighttime sky. That's largely because it's relatively close by, only 37 light-years away. Arcturus means guardian of the bear, so called because it's not far from Ursa Major, the big bear, a little farther north. Now return to Saturn. Look about 4 fists to its left and stop when you reach the bright star Antares above the southern horizon. Can you detect a reddish tinge to its light? Compare its color to that of Spica. Antares is strikingly similar to the planet Mars in color, and that resemblance gives the star its name. Antares means, literally, rival of Aries, which is the Greek name for Mars. Antares is also a close match to Betelgeuse, the strikingly red star in Orion. But Antares seems to have an even deeper hue because we usually see it low in the sky, where the atmosphere reddens it, just as the dense air low down reddens the setting sun. If you're still out at 10:30 or 11, take note of where Antares is along the horizon. That direction is due south. Let's focus on Antares a bit more. It's the brightest star in the constellation Scorpius. No, it's not Scorpio. That's what astrologers say. Perhaps more than in any other constellation, the stars of Scorpius really do look like their namesake. Let's trace out that shape. And here's where having a clear southern horizon becomes important. Antares is the heart of our Scorpion. And close by, to its upper right and lower left, are 2 medium-bright stars representing its body. Less than 1 fist to the upper right of Antares are 3 stars in a nearly vertical row. These mark the head. To their right are the stars of Libra, the balance scales, but in ancient times these were perceived as the critter's claws. Trailing down from Antares is a curving string of stars that form the scorpion's tail. They head to the lower left and then turn upward, ending in a close-spaced pair of stars at the stinger end. These two are sometimes called the cat's eyes by amateur astronomers. The farther south you live in North America or Europe, the easier it is to see the whole tail and stinger. Scorpius also harbors one of the few star clusters that can be easily seen without binoculars or a telescope. It's just to the upper left of the stinger, spaced by about the width of your middle three fingers. This star cluster is the seventh entry in the catalog of 18th century French astronomer Charles Messier, so it's usually called Messier 7 or M7. But the ancient Greek astronomer Claudius Ptolemy had cataloged it 1600 years before Messier did, describing it as a cloudy star behind the sting of the scorpion. So it's sometimes known as Ptolemy's cluster. You might have trouble seeing M7 if your skies are awash with light pollution or summer haze, but binoculars should show it with ease and resolve it into a swarm of individual stars. July features a modest meteor shower called the Delta Aquarids. It's often called the Southern Delta Aquarids because it's best seen from the southern hemisphere. The shower peaks very late in the month, around July 30th. Light from a last quarter moon will probably wash out many of them, so you might expect to see only a few of the Delta Aquarids per hour. Next month, we'll look for steam coming from a celestial teapot and what that has to do with the Milky Way. Until then, I wish you clear skies.